Okay, so we all know what medicine is, right? You pop a pill, you get an injection, and whatever's ailing you hopefully starts to feel better.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. At least that's what we're led to believe. But the truth is, there's a whole lot more going on inside that tiny tablet or that vial of liquid than meets the eye.
Oh, absolutely. And today we're going deep, really deep, into a side of medications that most people probably never even think about.
That's right, we're talking about excipients.
Excipients. Okay, for those of us who aren't, pharmacists or chemists, what exactly are we talking about here?
Basically, they're the other stuff, the inactive ingredients in your medications, everything that isn't the actual drug itself.
Interesting. So beyond just the active ingredient, the thing that actually has the medicinal effect, there's this whole other world of components that go into every pill, capsule, or injection.
Exactly. And we've been digging into some fascinating research on this, looking at scientific papers, regulatory documents, even case studies from drug development labs.
A real behind-the-scenes look at how these medications are actually made.
Precisely. And, the first thing that really struck me is that these excipients, these inactive ingredients, they're not just there for show. They play a crucial role in how a medicine works, how it's delivered, how long it lasts.
So it's not just a matter of, like, packing peanuts in a box. There's a real science behind why these other ingredients are included.
Exactly. And one of their most important jobs is ensuring the stability of the active drug.
Stability.
Right. You wouldn't want your medication to degrade or lose its potency before you even have a chance to take it.
Right. I mean, everyone's seen what happens to, like, an old bottle of vitamins left open too long. It gets discolored and just looks off. Is it kind of like that?
Similar idea. The Handbook of Medicinal Chemistry, one of the sources we looked at, really emphasizes how crucial it is to understand the stability characteristics of an API, which is the active pharmaceutical ingredient.
The actual drug, yeah.
The actual drug, because some are incredibly sensitive to things like moisture, oxygen, even light. Exposure can cause them to break down over time. So specific excipients are chosen to counteract those vulnerabilities.
So if you have a drug that's prone to, say, water damage, you'd add an excipient that can absorb moisture or form a barrier.
Exactly. It's like building a little protective fortress around the active ingredient to keep it safe and effective until its expiration date.
It makes you think about all those times you've tossed out an old prescription because it's expired.
Right. And excipients are a big part of the reason why those expiration dates exist in the first place. They're helping to ensure that when you take that medication, it's still potent and doing what it's supposed to do.
It's like they're the preservation crew for our medications, making sure they don't go bad before they can do their job.
A great way to put it. Now, another crucial role that excipients play is in drug delivery.
Delivery, so like getting the drug to the right place in the body.
Precisely. Because for a drug to work, it usually needs to get into your bloodstream and often even into specific cells. And our bodies, they have natural defenses.
Right, like our skin, our digestive system.
Exactly. And those act as barriers. Imagine a water-soluble drug trying to cross a cell membrane, which is largely made of lipids. It's kind of like trying to mix oil and water.
They don't exactly want to cooperate.
Not naturally. And that's where certain excipients come in. They can act almost like a bridge, helping the drug get across that barrier more easily.
Oh, interesting. So they're like little facilitators, smoothing the way for the drug to reach its target.
You could say that. And excipients are also essential in what we call modified release formulations, a topic discussed in oral drug delivery, one of the sources we looked at.
Modified release.
Yeah.
That's when you have a pill that releases medication gradually, right? Like those once-a-day formulations.
Exactly. A classic example is enteric coatings. That's an excipient that's applied to tablets to prevent them from dissolving in the stomach.
Why would you want to prevent that?
Well, for some drugs, the acidic environment of the stomach can actually destroy them, render them ineffective. Or in other cases, the drug itself might irritate the stomach lining.
So the enteric coating is like a shield, protecting the drug until it reaches the small intestine where it can be safely absorbed.
Exactly. And the fundamentals of drug delivery, another source we consulted, highlights how crucial excipients are in creating formulations tailored to specific patient groups. For instance, a large tablet might be difficult for a child to swallow.
Right, or someone who has difficulty swallowing pills in general.
Exactly. So excipients allow for smaller multi-particulate systems, things like tiny beads or granules that can deliver the same dose in a way that's easier and safer to take.
So they're not just about getting the drug into the body, but also about making sure it's delivered in a way that's appropriate for the patient.
Absolutely. It's really about optimizing the whole process.
It makes you realize how much careful thought and engineering goes into something as seemingly simple as taking a pill.
Right. And there's even more to it than that. Patient acceptability is another key factor where excipients play a huge role.
Patient acceptability.
You know, how a medication looks, tastes, feels, all of that can have a big impact on whether someone will actually take it as prescribed.
Oh, that makes sense.
Anything?
I'm sure some drugs on their own probably taste pretty awful.
You'd be surprised how bitter or unpleasant some APIs can be. So flavorings and sweeteners, those are excipients, are added to make oral medications more palatable, especially for kids.
Of course, like those chewable vitamins or liquid medications.
Exactly. And coloring agents, those are excipients too, can help patients distinguish between different medications, which reduces the risk of errors. And even the size and texture of a tablet or capsule that's also influenced by excipients. And it can make a difference in how easy it is to swallow.
Yeah, I've definitely struggled with some large pills before. It can be a real challenge.
Right. And the fundamentals of drug delivery points out that these physical characteristics can be a major barrier for some patients. So excipients are crucial in creating formulations that are more manageable and comfortable to take.
Because ultimately, if a medicine is easier to take, people are more likely to stick to their treatment plan.
Exactly. And that directly impacts how well the medication works in the long run. It's not just about the drug itself, but the entire experience of taking it.
Makes sense. It's about making it work in the real world, not just in the lab. So with all these different factors at play, how do scientists actually go about choosing the right excipients? It can't just be a random grab bag of ingredients.
Oh, definitely not. It's a very deliberate process, a blend of scientific understanding and real formulation know-how. And it starts with the specific properties of the active ingredient and how the drug is going to be administered.
So, like, is it a pill, an injection, a cream?
Exactly. And then you have to consider the function you need that excipient to perform.
Yeah.
Is it stabilizing the API, helping it dissolve, giving the tablet the right physical characteristics?
So if you have an API that doesn't dissolve well in water, you'd look for an excipient that can help with that.
Precisely. But it's even more nuanced than that. Compatibility is crucial.
Compatibility.
You need to be absolutely sure that the excipient you choose doesn't react negatively with the API.
You don't want them to, like, cancel each other out or create some weird side effect.
Exactly. There can't be any unwanted chemical reactions or physical interactions that would compromise the drug's safety or effectiveness over time.
Sounds like there's a lot of potential for things to go wrong if you're not careful.
Definitely. The early drug development case study that we read, it mentioned a situation where an impurity was forming during the drug's synthesis, and that led the researchers to completely change the starting material they were using.
Wow, so a seemingly small incompatibility can have a huge impact on the entire process.
Absolutely. And then there's the issue of polymorph switches, which the Handbook of Medicinal Chemistry discusses in detail.
Polymorph switches. Okay, now you're really getting technical.
Well, it's actually pretty fascinating. So many solid drugs can exist in different crystalline forms called polymorphs.
Okay, I vaguely remember that from chemistry class.
Right. And just like carbon can exist as graphite or diamond, which have completely different properties, these different drug polymorphs can have different physical and chemical characteristics.
Like how easily they dissolve or how stable they are?
Exactly. And what the handbook emphasizes is that excipients shouldn't trigger a switch to a less desirable polymorph, because that could dramatically affect how the drug is absorbed and ultimately how it works in the body.
So the excipients need to be chosen not just to do their own job, but also to make sure they don't mess up the API's structure.
Exactly. They need to be team players supporting the active ingredient, not causing any unexpected drama.
I like that analogy. So to bring this all together, can you give us some real-world examples of how these excipient choices play out in drug formulation?
Sure. Let's start with crystallization. That's a fundamental step in manufacturing many drug substances. And articles from both polymorphism in the pharmaceutical industry and OPR&D talk about how excipients can be used to fine-tune this process.
Fine-tune in what way?
They can actually control the size and shape of the API crystals that form. And that's important because those physical characteristics directly impact how well the drug dissolves and therefore how well it's absorbed.
So you might use a particular excipient to make sure the crystals are small enough to dissolve quickly or to prevent them from clumping together.
Exactly. And even the solvents used during crystallization, things like tamyl alcohol or toluene, which were mentioned in the context of transition metal catalyzed couplings, those can play a role alongside the excipients in guiding the crystallization process.
It's amazing how much control you have over the process at such a microscopic level.
It really is. And then you have medications that need to be kept refrigerated, often because of stability issues, but also due to the formulation itself.
Okay, what about those?
Well, one really interesting example is lyophilization. That's freeze drying, which is often used for biologics. Those are complex drugs, like certain vaccines or protein therapies that can be very fragile in liquid form.
Right, I've seen those vials of medication that need to be reconstituted before they can be injected.
Exactly. And lyophilization of pharmaceuticals, one of the sources we looked at, talks about the crucial role that cryoprotectants play in this process.
Cryoprotectants. They sound like they're protecting against the cold.
Well, not exactly the cold itself, but the stresses that freezing and drying can put on the drug molecule. During freeze drying, the water is removed from the frozen drug solution. And without cryoprotectants, that process could damage the delicate structure of the biologic, basically making it ineffective.
So they're like a buffer, helping the drug molecule survive the harsh conditions of freeze drying.
A good analogy. And even something like the nucleation temperature, that's the temperature at which ice crystals start to form, that can actually impact how efficiently the water can be removed during the drying phase.
It's incredible how many variables there are to consider.
Right, and it all comes back to the formulation, including the excipients chosen.
So everything is interconnected.
Exactly. Now let's talk about those softgel capsules. They have their own unique requirements.
I've always wondered about those. They seem so different from regular capsules.
They are, and the material on softgel capsules explained how certain polyfunctional compounds, those are types of excipients, can be used to cross-link the gelatin that makes up the capsule shell.
Cross-link?
Right. It basically creates a network within the gelatin, which affects the capsule's melting point and its mechanical strength.
So it doesn't, like, melt in your hand before you can swallow it.
Exactly. And it makes sure that the capsule releases the drug at the intended time and place.
It's amazing to think that even something as seemingly simple as a capsule is actually a carefully engineered delivery system, thanks to these excipients.
It really is. And then you have low-dose oral drug products. Formulation and analytical development, another source we looked at, discusses these. These are medications where the amount of the active ingredient in each tablet is very small.
Okay, so how do they make sure that tiny amount is delivered accurately?
That's where excipients like fillers and binders come in. Fillers provide the bulk needed to make a tablet of a reasonable size, and binders hold everything together. And even the force used to compress the tablet during manufacturing, something called dry granulation, that's influenced by the excipients chosen.
So it's a delicate balance to ensure that every pill has the exact right amount of medication.
Precisely. And I imagine all of these excipients, just like the drugs themselves, they're subject to some pretty strict regulations.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Regulatory agencies like the FDA scrutinize them very carefully. For instance, CFR Title 21, which is part of the Code of Federal Regulations, it outlines specific requirements for testing and specifications for every component of a drug product. And that includes the excipients. So it's not just about whether an excipient helps the drug do its job. It also has to be safe for us to ingest on its own.
Exactly. The entire formulation, the API, and all those excipients, it undergoes rigorous testing and review to ensure both efficacy and safety.
It makes you appreciate just how complex the process of developing a medication really is.
Right. It's a whole ecosystem of ingredients working together.
So to wrap things up, what are the key takeaways you want listeners to remember about excipients?
Well, the most important thing is that they're not just inert fillers. They play vital roles in a medicine's stability, its delivery, and its acceptability for patients. And their selection, it's a meticulous scientific process tailored to each specific drug and how it will be used.
It's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Not at all. Understanding the function of excipients gives you a much deeper appreciation for the level of thought and precision that goes into every dose of medication you take.
It's like looking under the hood of modern medicine.
I like that analogy. And for our listeners who might have allergies or sensitivities, remember to always check the inactive ingredients listed on your medications and discuss any concerns with your doctor or pharmacist.
Great advice. Well, hopefully this deep dive has given everyone listening a new perspective on those often overlooked components of their medications. Excipients truly are the unsung heroes of the pharmaceutical world.
Absolutely. They're working behind the scenes to make sure those therapies are safe, effective, and actually work as intended within the body.
And with that, I think we've given our listeners plenty to ponder. But before we go, let's leave them with one final thought. With all this incredible science going into excipients, what might the future hold? Could we see even more targeted drug delivery systems? excipients that respond to specific conditions within the body.
That's a fascinating question to consider. The possibilities are truly exciting. If you're intrigued by this, I encourage you to explore further. Take a closer look at the ingredient list on your medications or dive into the world of pharmaceutical science. It's a constantly evolving field with endless opportunities for innovation.
Excellent advice. And with that, we'll leave you to ponder the hidden complexities of those little pills and potions. Until next time.
Until next time.